If you don't have a question, I can put a question. Is it allowed?
Yes, certainly.
You know, this problem that I am exploring with all of us here is a problem which requires a study of the human cycle, the life divine, synthesis of yoga, and also that great book called the Supramental Manifestation on the Earth. And I do not know if our friends who are here I can get a background as to how much of these four books they are acquainted, so that, you know, whenever I come here on Friday evening on this table, I ask myself whether I'm not taking too much of your time in expounding certain things. But if I knew that you have already a background of this or that, it will help me to modulate myself and to not to bother you too much with something which you do not wish to enter into. Now, is it possible for me to have from each one of you some kind of an idea as to how much you think I should be dealing in regard to these books, and what kind of treatment would you like me to follow, so that, you know, I am always aware that everybody has pressure of time, and I should not encroach upon of anyone, and one should not feel that somebody's time is wasted. I would like to therefore to understand how much I should talk, and on what to talk, and to what extent you would like this to go on, because this topic is of such a large measure that one can go on for one full year, or one can finish in three lectures or four lectures. Because I want to receive from you as to what extent whether you would like to finish my exposition in the next two lectures or next three, four lectures, or what is your measure. I'd be happy to learn about it so that I can summarize, or I can expand according to what you would like to have. Anybody to answer this question?
Well, if no one else, I mean, I certainly have an answer. I like the form of it very much, and speaking for myself, I feel that the time we have is short. I have, you know, lots of free time, so it may not be very representative, but I really like the format that we have, and I hate to put it into any limited type of framework. The pace at which Debashis teaches, for instance, leads to his book group on the Life Divine is, mm-hmm. I think, very fine. I'd kind of like to see our workshop with you just continuing as long as it can.
Thank you. I must assure you that I will not like to go beyond at the most 10 such sessions with you.
Okay.
Is that a good measure for all the members here?
Kiritbhai, actually,
yes.
If somebody wants to
say something about it, they are welcome. But I think you don't need to feel constrained with any number of limited number of sittings on this, Kiritbhai, because I also feel that we have embarked on this journey with a completely open sort of ocean in front of us. So, you know, it is such an important topic, and it really depends on the state of consciousness of those who are listening to you and to your own inspiration, and what and how they would like to, or we would like to collectively develop this. So I would encourage you to just keep yourself open to the possibility of its developing as it you know, unfolds itself.
All very right. Well said.
thank you. Thank
he
you.
Said what I wanted to say, yes.
Yes, this is Jyoti, and I completely agree with Debashish Ji. I can make myself available for as long as it needs to, as we need to continue this exploration.
Oh, good, good. give me good encouragement.
Yeah, same for me as well, Kirit. Same for me as well.
Good, good. Thank you. Thank you.
Also, Kiritbhai, from my knowledge, people are not speaking up. I just wanted to mention that from my just from my personal interactions with all these participants that are gathered around you, they all have a fair amount of reading into all the texts that you have mentioned.
Great.
That we have actually most of these people have been, you know, sort of, we've been studying Life Divine together for quite some time. Also, we have had occasion to study together various parts of synthesis of yoga, as well as most of them have personally studied the synthesis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
You know, the human cycle also, many of us have studied together. When I was leading study groups at the Sri Aurobindo Center in Los Angeles. So, and most of them have also read it themselves. So what you have around you are fairly well-informed students of Sri Aurobindo.
Mm-hmm. Have
read all the texts to some good degree. And so the familiarity is fairly good. I think the level at which you are pitching your discussions, Kiritbhai, is very, very nice, and I think everybody appreciates them very much, because it is extremely you know, sort of cogent, and it brings us into engagement with the real issues of what our problems today are, and as you said, provides the background for the full reception of Sri Aurobindo's writing.
Good. Well, I'll try to do then my best, and I'll continue. All right,
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sure. Because I feel very happy myself to be talking about this, and gives me a. Yes, it gives me great opportunity to learn once again to go through these works. Yes.
So I wanted to, since you know, we have a little time left, I wanted to make one more comment. You know, regarding what your today's sort of lecture, and one of the most very you know, wonderful.
Hello.
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 Hello. Can you hear?
I can't hear you. Very frankly.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Better now. Better. Yeah. Now I can hear you.
Okay. I was mentioning that one aspect of what you addressed us with today was this beautiful sweep of Western philosophy in a nutshell, pointing out how the problem of rationality and its various dimensions have been covered through the history of modern Western philosophy. I also wanted to touch briefly on this issue of postmodernism and what is regarding the sort of ultra-relativism of postmodernism.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello.
I missed two sentences.
Yeah, you faded out.
I was saying that the problem of ultra-relativism.
Yes.
Which is. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
No. Something is wrong.
Faded out again.
Okay, one second. Hello.
You spoke of ultra-relativism.
Yes, I was speaking of the ultra.
Hello.
Lost you again.
Yes. I was speaking of the ultra relativism as a possibility.
Yes.
And also, as you said, fall into some kind of irrationality. We can see that maybe even in its beginnings, one of the founding figures in postmodernism is Martin Heidegger, and he's a very brilliant philosopher and can open us to spiritual directions as well. There is a fatal flaw in his in his life. I mean, people talk about a lot, which is that he became a member of the Nazi party. So we can that, all his philosophy could not prevent him from going in that false direction. But also, I think as a result of that, the postmodern philosophers that have followed Heidegger have been very conscious and critical of this particular aspect. So that there is a critique within postmodernism itself, particularly against any form of dogma or any form of social control by rational or irrational. Yeah, I was saying that maybe even within the movement of postmodernism, there is a purificative impulse. What I was saying that maybe there is an internal movement within the form of philosophy itself, the purification is to be seen how far it will lead out of what we might call an ultra relativism and the possibility of that was all, Kiritbhai. I
lost it too.
No, I lost you, but I would like to comment on what you said. Can I?
Yes, please.
You know, I think that if you all agree, we could spend some time next time on a brief survey that you can make on the history of reason from modern times to postmodernism, and in the light of the claims of religion and the claims of spirituality, because it is a subject on which we all need to go into some depths to be able to understand how to come out of the impasse. Even if you understood where the impasse is, you see, the impasse is that reason has led to the present condition. And reason is now not able to move forward as it ought to, or is it can? And even if it can and ought to, it still needs a suprarational light. Now, this is the basic point that we need to be precise about. And that can be done if, for example, you have made a very good study of postmodernism, which I have not, but I would like to learn from you something more about it, and maybe that we can have a short discussion on what is reason exactly, what is rationality, and what is spirituality. It will be a good subject. It will be a good subject if, for example, we have one session only on this subject, what is rationality, and how we can, where it is arrested, why it is arrested, and how it can move forward. Can you hear me?
I think that would be wonderful. Yes, I can hear you. I think that will be wonderful. I will not presume to give a whole background, but I can say a few words next time.
All right.
On the movement of postmodernism and how it addresses the issue of rationality, and as well as of irrationality, both these.
All right.
And then we can proceed from there.
Devashish, could I just add one thing?
Yes, Rich. I think Rich wants to say something, Kiritji.
Because, you know, we're talking about postmodernism and the relativism of knowledge, and I just like to point out that that's just one part of the postmodernist program. The other part is a critique of power and power structures, and chief among them is a critique of this whole power structure of what we're calling machinery here. For the next time, Debashish, if we can also consider not just the limitation of rationality, but Sri Aurobindo talks about a progressive evolution. And one could look back and see during the time he was writing that notions of progress were wed to the idea of evolution. And, of course, since the two wars, since, you know, progress sort of led us onto the abyss of total destruction, there's been a huge critique in postmodernism regards this notion of progress or a progressive evolution. And perhaps that could be something else that we touch on next time, how one sort of, you know, works with this idea of progressive evolution.